Tori Petri here with Tim Twentyman and Mike O'Hara in Allen Park to talk a little bit more of free agency. But before we get to that, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day to you both.
Ah, same to you. Don't you wish you were Irish?
Yeah, I do. But I wore my green today.
Very festive of you today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, let's get into talking about free agency. We kind of broke things down in the first wave last week, but now a few more things have happened since then, probably most notably the signing of TJ Lang. So what do you think of that one?
Well, I think what was a liability sometimes last year in Detroit's offensive line with, you know, 30th rushing, 37 sacks allowed. I think in 2017 with the addition of Rick Wagner and TJ Lang, that could be a strength of this football team now. And give credit to GM Bob Quinn. He addressed it. He said he wants to run the football. He's got to protect Matthew Stafford. That was a main priority, and I thought he hit it out of the park with those two additions.
Yeah. And let's also give some credit to the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers for putting on the brakes on how much they were going to offer and let TJ Lang come home to Detroit. Yeah. Like you said, he was 99% sure he was going to sign with Seattle until the Lions came in with their offer. So good on them. And I also think, except for maybe left guard, and I think it's going to be Graham Glasgow, the starter. I think, barring injury, we always say that, you know who four of the starting five are going to be going into the opening day. So I think they've got something to work with, and they can plan that way.
And on that TJ Lang front, too, no sacks last year. No quarterback hits allowed. I mean, he's just a rock in there. And I thought he had an interesting comment about left tackle Taylor Decker, too. He said he watched film.
Yeah.
In this process, just kind of see how everyone played. He made the statement that he thinks Taylor Decker is an eventual Pro Bowler. And so now you've got
–
that's a very strong statement. Now, hold on. Let's not put that much pressure on Taylor. He had a very good rookie season.
Right.
But that's obviously a great compliment from a veteran guy like that. And if that plays out, and then you've got Lang, who was a Pro Bowler last year, Rick Wagner, who's, you know, one of the top 10 right tackles in football last year, to Mike's point – you've got the makings of a pretty darn good offensive line.
Yeah, and there's one other thing. I believe in chemistry, too. And I think one of the things TJ Lang said was, talk about this being one of the elite units in the National Football League, not just good. So I think he's brought a level of expectation. When guys look at him, they can see 8 years with the Green Bay Packers, 8 playoff appearances, 5 division titles in the last 6 years, 3 conference championships and a Super Bowl. That guy knows what he's talking about.
Any other numbers you want to add in there?
Yeah, he wore number 70.
There we go. You know, guys, we talked last year about Bob Quinn not making a huge splash in free agency. And, you know, it's kind of been sort of similar this year, but I think a lot of people have really, it's really stood out to them how heavily he targeted this offensive line. And that's probably the biggest takeaway that he got out of free agency. And it is a pretty big splash for an offensive line.
Well, it's a 10-month process. If you go back to the draft of last April, you know, where he drafted 3 offensive linemen and now followed up with 2 veteran starters. So I think it's part of the process.
Yeah.
And I think what he said and what he's done is, this is the heartbeat of your team, the offensive line. You build this, and then the rest will follow.
Well, his philosophy is the draft, and he still believes that. He said that many times. But I think one thing that he's shown, if he sees a need and he can supplement in free agency, he's going to do that. They lost Calvin Johnson last year, so what'd they do? They went and signed Marvin Jones, the best receiver on the market. You know, their right guard and right tackle were free agents this year, wanted to upgrade but could have lost them anyway, so what'd he do? He targeted and he filled those needs. So I think if there's a need, I think Bob Quinn has shown that, I'll go out and address it, and I'll get it, but I'm still going to grow this team through the draft.
Certainly.
And do it that way.
Yeah, and speaking of protecting Matthew Stafford and improving that run game, he made another move in that area by bringing in Darren Fells, tight end.
Well, then that's, you know, that's really a situational role player. He's known as a good blocking tight end, not much of a receiver, even though with a basketball background. Well, I don't think they threw the ball to him very much, so we don't know what kind of receiver he is, but he's better than any second tight end they had on the roster. I would have loved to have seen at his peak and at his best, injury-free, Eric Ebron with Brandon Pettigrew. We never really saw that.
Right.
I think Pettigrew would have been the best that they possibly could have gotten, but you don't have him. And I like Brandon Pettigrew, too, so maybe I'm a little biased in that regard.
One thing I think it does, too, is it gives Jim Bob Cooter some leeway to do some different formations, some 2 tight end stuff. I tweeted this out, I think it was last month, but I went back and looked, and Matthew Stafford only threw the ball 26 times out of 2 tight end sets. He completed 22 of those for 370-some yards and had 144 passer rating. So they didn't do it very much last year because they didn't have 2 tight ends that they wanted to put on the field at the same time. I think Fells and Ebron complement each other. You can do a lot of different things with them. You can still run and pass, which gives Jim Bob Cooter some options.
I'm the only one who's repeated that statistic less than you have.
All right, guys, so with all of these things in mind, how do you think these free agency moves affect what we think might happen in the draft.
Well, I still don't think it's changed the overall need for another running back. And I think it has to be the best back you can get. But you'd love to get a power back with speed. And if they can get that, I don't care how they do it. There's a lot of talk about what's available in free agency right now. But I think somewhere first, second, third round, the best running back on the board is going to end up in Detroit.
I think what they have to do is they have to address now the other side of the football.
Right.
I think they need some playmakers. They need some guys, especially in that front seven. They need a linebacker. They only got three right now that have had any substantial playing time. So you either sign another veteran or you've got to get a linebacker at some point in this draft. But you need somebody to pair outside, you know, opposite Ziggy Ansah. And so I think at 21, you're probably not looking tackle anymore. That was at some mock drafts leading in. We're saying, oh, maybe they go get that kid from Wisconsin. I don't think that's in the cards anymore. Now you flip over to the other side of the football, you've got to get better defensively.
Sure. I mean, you look at what this draft is known for, and a lot of people are saying that this is a very strong defensive draft. And you look at the places where it's weak, and it's on the offensive line. And Bob Quinn took that and took the places where the draft was weak, signed people in free agency, veterans that could help out there. And I think he's going to rely on the draft to really improve on the defense. Now, there were some depth defensive signings this week during free agency, but to really get those playmakers who you feel like are the future of your defense, I think he's going to turn to the draft. And I could definitely see linebacker or defensive end being that 21st pick.
The closest thing you can get to an impact player, it's a front seven. I've done two mock drafts, and both times, you know, with the research, look, what do I know?
But I both, we say that every day.
I know, but we're about to find out. But both times I come up with Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan. He's been the best player for the Lions on my board at number 21, but that could change.
6'6", 278, a year of production. He fits all the measurables that Detroit likes up front. I think that's a good pick for them.
Yeah, and definitely DeAndre Levy's leaving certainly makes you think maybe a linebacker is a little bit more likely. Maybe Hassan Reddick out of Temple, or if Reuben Foster slides because of the incident at the Combine, you know, who knows what could happen there.
Well, Hassan Reddick from Temple and Tier Whitehead from Temple, the Temple of Doom.
You've been waiting for that one. You've been waiting to use that.
I thought one of the best descriptions in all the, you know, the pre-draft analysis and stuff like that, I think it was Rob Rang from CBS Sports on Reuben Foster, that he was a heat-seeking missile hell-bent on destruction. I thought it was the best categorization of a player. And that's the kind of guy, in my opinion, this defense needs.
Yeah. All right. Well, certainly a lot of options for Bob Quinn in the draft, and we can't wait to see what happens. Thanks, guys, so much for tuning in to our free agency recap. Stay tuned to DetroitLions.com because we've got coverage all off-season long. For DetroitLions.com, Tim Twentyman and Mike O'Hara, I'm Tori Petrie.